Brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this worship service, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we greet you grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In line with the COVID-19 liturgy, we will now confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. So, let everyone speak with me in his heart. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's now unite in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of faith. Faith that thou hast worked in our hearts by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, without this faith, we would be lost. But now, in faith, we may embrace all the blessings we have received by believing in thee, the triune God. And Lord, we just confessed the riches to believe in thee. And then we also see, Father, that we are totally undeserving of this. That thou in thy love want to reach out to us, sinful children of thine, and yet providing us daily with all that we need. But we thank thee that to strengthen this faith and to live it daily, thou wilt open thy word to us also this afternoon. Once again, we may listen to the gospel of our salvation in Christ and then also how we should apply it in daily life. This afternoon, we'll focus in particular on the 9th commandment, that we should always speak the truth and do so in love as well. Father, we pray thee help us to listen attentively. Here in this church building, but also at home. And give us also a desire to listen. A desire to be fed by the preaching. Grant also, Lord, that being fed by the preaching, we may go home comforted and strengthened in faith. And then also live accordingly. May that be the fruit also of this afternoon's preaching. Lord, we pray thee bless the proclamation of thy word as it goes out into the world. So many are still wandering around in darkness or captivated by false religions. If it is thy will, Father, grant that many may come to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the only true Savior, who came into this world so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's thy love, Father. Thou wants to save sinners. Bless us and also all mission work worldwide. But Father, not only all mission work, but also the testimony of Christian aid workers who have gone out to work in so many places globally, where there are crises and people in need. And then we pray also for Australia, Father. We pray in particular for the frontline workers who care. Also here in Australia, the nurses, the doctors, the police officers. And also, Father, when they pass on the good news, that there is opportunity, wilt thou bless it. Father, we pray thee also for those who are persecuted for thy name's sake. And often we think in countries like North Korea, China, and other countries, but often we forget, Father, those countries on the African continent, the worst country where there is persecution of thy name for thy name's sake is Nigeria, where every day houses are burned down, people are tortured, and people are killed. Lord, be near there, but also everywhere, the children of thine are persecuted for thy name's sake. Lord, help us as we may serve thee in freedom, that we may use that freedom to the glory of thy name. That we do not waste our time, but may redeem it for thee, for thy kingdom, for thy name. Lord, when we think about the bond of churches, we pray thee also for the calling work. We pray thee for candidate Dekker, called both by other churches, but also here in West Albany. And also candidate Pluck, again other calls, but also here in Baldarvis. And also for Reverend Alkema, who has two calls from churches in Canada. Lord, remember these brothers and their families as they have to make decisions in the coming weeks. Guard them by thy Spirit, and of course, Father, we pray thee that the vacancies here in Australia may be filled. But we also know that thou guides the way of thy servants, so that they will go where thou want them to go, according to thy sovereign plan. And help us also, Father, when we hear the outcome, and it is different to what we expected or hoped for and prayed for, that we may also that receive from thy fatherly hand. For Father, thou never makes any mistake. Lord, that's how we lay also this prayer before thee, asking thee to accept our thanksgiving, to hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This would normally be the time in the worship service that we have our collection. You can do so by when you leave this church building or also electronically, those who are at home. Let's now, before we sing, before we turn to reading God's word and go to the sermon, sing Psalm 101, the verses 1, 3 and 5. afternoon we will focus on the ninth commandment, that we should be true also in our speech. And in connection with that, we will read a few verses from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12, the verses 13 through to 23. Proverbs 12, the verses 13 through to 23, we read that the word of God as follows. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with his good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but the prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who do deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. So far for scripture. Let's now turn to our confession. Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 43. What is required in the ninth commandment? I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone, rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works, under the penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. So far, our confession. In response to the sermon, we'll sing from Psalm 141, the verses 2 and 7. 41, verse 2 and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you ever think about the fact what damage you can do with the words we speak? We read in the scripture reading that they can be like the piercings of a sword. That's indeed what words can do. At times, and oftentimes, hurting more than physical stab wounds. Physical wounds can heal, but emotional scars often last a lifetime. What are emotional scars? Being bullied at school. Always stand outside the circle and being called names. Being belittled. Verbal and emotional abuse. At times also in merits. More than we often think it goes on. Domestic violence is not only, again, physical, but it can, above all, also be abusive language. Trying to manipulate. And so I could go on for a long time. Often we have no clue what damage we do by the words we speak. Dossi 43 speaks about twisting one's words, gossip, slander, condemning a person rashly and unheard. Beloved, how often does this not happen also in the congregation of Christ? Let's be honest, we do not always weigh our words as carefully as we should. I think no commandment is transgressed so much among us and almost by every one of us than the ninth commandment. So easily done. You go home after this worship service, maybe visiting someone, and then have just a chat over a cup of coffee. And then one said, you know, recently I've heard, it is still a bit confidential, but recently I've heard that such and so, she kept told that. Maybe she kept your mouth shut. Was it upbuilding for the person you spoke about? So it goes on. And then we are in the meantime busy to ruin the good name of our fellow brother and sister within the church. Our tongue, it's indeed a poisonous weapon in all kinds of situations. In marriage, also the relationship parents and children, it's also not always that we as parents even weigh our words carefully, when we, for example, have to admonish our children. In anger, sometimes words are quickly spoken, which we later on, if only I had not said this. At work, among our mates, a word thoughtlessly spoken can be like a butt of a cigarette, thrown away without thinking, and when it falls in the wrong place, it will start a great bushfire. It's a long time ago, we think, because who thinks still of the bushfires at the beginning of this year? COVID-19 has completely overtaken that news, but if you still remember, over East, those huge bushfires. Well, that can the tongue do to someone's life, destroying people's lives. James says this, be quick to listen, slow to speak. In Proverbs 18, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death. There are also the things of all kinds of false prophecy, which have alienated thousands of people from God, with the fatal result that they have perished forever. Death and life, yes, also life, is in the power of the tongue. After all, a word spoken in wisdom can have healing power. Using the power of the word, the Lord Jesus brought sinners to repentance. And that same happens today, wherever the gospel is preached in all its truth. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And that not only applies to the preaching of the gospel, but elsewhere it says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 25, it says, how good is a timely word. A timely word. Think of a meeting of the Bible Study Society. You know, sometimes the debate is heating up and strong words are spoken, not always even nice either. Then, a brother who yet had not joined the discussion only speaks a few quiet words in all wisdom and suffer, and all of a sudden the discussion goes in the right direction again. A timely word. It can lift one up when he is down in the dumps. It may cause us to see things all of a sudden in a different perspective. It brings healing. With our words, we can comfort people, encourage them. We can even make them laugh. That's the positive side of the ninth commandment. the gospel that shines through this commandment. And that gospel I may preach you this afternoon. Summarized as follows. The gospel regarding the ninth commandment, and that feud from the threefold division of the Heidelberg Kirche, is a feud from from the greatness of our misery, the riches of our redemption, and the enjoyment of our thankfulness. The gospel regarding the ninth commandment feud, first of all, from the greatness of our misery. The ninth commandment, brothers and sisters, reads, "You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor." Being a false witness, giving false testimony. And we think of a court case. If its witnesses do not always speak the truth, sometimes do not speak the truth. But when you read the ninth commandment, then it doesn't just speak about perjury in court, it condemns all lying and deceit. And that in a very strong way. In fact, nowhere he goes to the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Days related to it. Nowhere does the Catechism use such strong words as in particular Lord's Day 43. Sin against the ninth commandment is called the devil's own work, by which the person inflicts upon himself the heavy wrath of God. That's quite something, brothers and sisters. And that's said about all lying and deceit. Then we gossip. Gossip. What's a gossip? A work of the devil. Inflicting upon us the heavy wrath of God. Now we think, is that not basically formulated a bit too strong? It's not, brothers and sisters. We should always speak the truth. We should always weigh our words carefully. And in case we don't do it, the answer of the Catechism urges all of us to confess our sins and to seek the forgiveness of sins in Christ's blood. To seek forgiveness also for that lie that perhaps suited you very far. Forgiveness of sins about that sarcastic comment. Yes, in Christ is forgiveness. And not only for that lie, but for all gossip, slander, whereby I did not uphold the name and reputation of my fellow brother and sister. We are to speak the truth, since God hates all lying. But the ninth commandment does not just simply say you should not lie. No, more precisely it says you should not be a false witness. And as I said before, that straightaway turns our thoughts in the direction of what happens in court, and people, as a witness, do not speak the truth. Now, let us dwell upon that aspect a little bit longer. A court is there to see that the laws of the country are kept, and of course, not only the laws of the country, but properly speaking, also the law of the Lord. Unfortunately, in today's society, the latter does not often happen anymore. But according to a scriptural point of view, that's how it ought to be. And that to protect the life of man. To protect the life of man, the Lord gave judges in authority to deal with the transgressions against his commandments. By providing courts, the Lord wanted to make sure that justice would be maintained and our lives would be protected. Now, as to the literal text of the ninth commandment, we must keep in mind that in the times of the Old Testament, the court case went a little bit different than today. Today, if we would do a survey here in this church building this afternoon, I think not many would put their finger up that they have ever been to sit in a jury, maybe two or three, but that may be the end of it. Yet, in the time of the Old Testament, it was different. In those days, the administration of justice was basically part of daily life. It happened in the open square at the city gate. That's where the elders were seated to deal with all kinds of issues. And everyone who came in or out of went out of the city and came in could be picked and said, "Well, you are a witness today." And then the elders functions as a jury and make their testimony based on the witnesses provided. And there could be two or three witnesses. But you can imagine that this testimony of two or three witnesses played an enormous, enormous important part in the court case. There were no solicitors, there were no lawyers. Everything hints on that testimony of those witnesses. And then indeed, upon the testimony of two or three witnesses, you could be declared guilty. So if there was a false testimony, he had no hope. Think of Naboth. The man had no hope. Ahab had hired a few witnesses. Jezebel had hired a few witnesses, and he said, "That's what you shall tell." And they did. And Naboth was gone, so to speak. And the same happened to the Lord Jesus. Or when the tricky thing was, in the same way as today, a jury has to be unanimous, otherwise there is no verdict. Also in those days, and you know, this whole court case, and you couldn't have two people saying the same thing. But in the end, the Lord Jesus still went to the cross. But that's how he had also corrupted court cases in those days. And it's against that background that you must learn to understand the literal text of the ninth commandment. For by this commandment the Lord wanted to protect the life of his people, the good name of his children, as it became necessary after the fall into sin. That's what it was. For lies and false testimony, brothers and sisters, had no part in God's world in the beginning. It was Satan who introduced the lie, deceiving Eve: when you eat from that tree, you will be like God. And Eve did eat from the tree. And by doing that, Adam and Eve lost all security. It turns out completely different to what the devil had said. The security in marriage was gone. "This is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. Lord, I thank thee that I have received this wife from thy hand." Want David follows it. "That woman thou gave me." Security merits God. Security, so the honeymoon was surely over. It had consequences also for the family. Cain killed Abel. Life became totally insecure. Now, to overcome that insecurity, men started to lie. Had learned that from the devil, so to speak. When you lie, then perhaps you can protect your life when it is in danger. We read that, for example, about Abram in Genesis 12. He went there to Egypt because of famine in the land of Canaan. And then he says there, when they travel together to Egypt, he says to his wife, Genesis 12, verses 10 through to 13. Sorry, Genesis 12. Verses 10 through to 13. He says there, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, 'Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beauty, beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, "This is his wife," and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that I may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you.'" Just a little lie to protect his own life. And there are many more of these examples that you would get, which I could give. And even the government. Think of the time the Israelites dwelt in Egypt. Pharaoh was their ruler, he had to make justice. But from the beginning of the book of Exodus, we learn what justice meant in the eyes of the Pharaoh. He was just a cruel man. And God commits his severe judgment, And then for a while he would say, yes, Moses, if you do that, I will do this. But the plague was lifted and he didn't do it. A promise quickly broken. And that's what we see today as well. How often does the government make a promise? And later on, when the elections are over, you don't hear a word about it. And now the trouble is that many people say, well, if the government does that, why should I then be honest? Look at all the lies of the government. Well, I get them back. But as Christians, we should not do that. See, that's the insecurity we live in. Insecurity. Security, brothers and sisters, you get only when you serve the Lord, for his commandments are wholesome for life. Faithfulness in merit, seventh commandment. Now, if we do what we promise on the day of our wedding, we will have a merit that will flourish. Of course, you live in a broken life. But if we try to uphold by the power of the Spirit the commandments of God, life will flourish. And that also applies to the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. And that meant, in those days, if you want to live secure in the land you are on your way to, Sinai, then you'd, under all circumstances, uphold your neighbor's honor and good reputation. Don't try to build up security for yourself by giving a false testimony about your neighbor or any other kind of lying and deceit. For there is no need for us to do so. The Lord says, I have taken you for my account. Trust me. Don't try to help yourself with all kinds of evil devices. It will only ruin your life. Trust me. I will provide. And therefore, don't speak false witness. Instead, live from the riches of your redemption. Indeed, live from the riches of your redemption. For also, above the ninth commandment is written, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of sin and bondage. You are mine. I've redeemed you. Live from that. Submit yourself to me. And you can count on my care. And that's what the Lord says. Said to Israel at Mount Sinai, and says to us today, we have been redeemed from sin. Let us also live accordingly. And that brings us to the second point of the sermon. The first point of the sermon, I mentioned, lying and deceit enter this world when, in paradise, when the devil deceived Eve. The devil, who later on by the Lord Jesus in John 8, verse 44, is called a murderer from the beginning, who does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and a father of it. Deceiving Eve. The devil ruined man's life. But it did not leave man without any hope. For straightway after the fall into sin, God came with that wonderful promise that he spoke, Genesis 3 verse 15, about the coming Christ would crush the head of the serpent and defeat the devil. Thus in Christ, there is redemption also from our lying and deceit. Christ, who once testified about himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. He came into this world to bear witness to the truth. To bear witness to the truth also in the lawsuit between his father and Satan. And in doing so, Christ put his own life at risk. In particular, when he stood up against the destructive power of the lie, against sin, darkness, and death. And then hanging on the cross, it seemed that he had lost the battle. His life ended up in a terrible death. Eternal death. What we deserved. But because of he, the Lord Jesus Christ, him always being faithful, and because of that he suffered a tremendous amount of injustice, lying and deceit, Because of his faithful testimony, Christ redeemed us from all these destructive powers. Beloved, let us always be careful. Let us always be thankful for that redemption. Especially also since all lying and deceit has to do with hell. And that's what Scripture itself says. You know, James 3 talks about the sin of the tongue. And in that context, James also says the following. James 3, verse 6. But he says, it's a chapter about the sin of the tongue. And he says there in verse 6, see how great a forest, I mentioned that already, how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it devours the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. There you have it. Especially with respect to the ninth commandment, time again, hell tries to seize its opportunities. Its opportunities to ruin man's life is that little member of our body, a tongue. Sting full of deadly poison, our tongue. With our tongue, we can indeed make life a hell for people. I mentioned it already. Marriages. Abusive and sarcastic comments. And you have no life anymore. Talking your spouse down every day. And then also the fact that it has on children. Children who grow up in a family where the parents live in an abusive relationship suffer for life. And not only in the world, but it happens equally in the church. We promise faithfulness on our wedding day, but unfaithfulness, brothers, is not just having an affair with someone. It can even happen that by using our tongue in an unfaithful way, no longer a building, we ruin a relationship. Hell on earth, as we say it. Yet lying about certain things can also cost a person's eternal life. Because, brothers and sisters, if I think back about my ministry, quite a lot of young people who have been bullied at school left the church. It's remarkable that sometimes whole classes, I don't know how that happens, but sometimes you see a whole class almost. But anyway, you have these young people that are bullied at school, and then they go to faith, but people don't know them, and then they say, hey, and they meet someone outside the church, it's gone, off the rails. And then later on, someone is read off, or excommunicated. Bad. But sometimes I think, if you think back, there might be members in the church, and it's quite a statement, who have blood on their hands. How do we live on all that? It starts young, calling names. I know that I could at least so offhand name 10 people in my ministry who during their school years have been bullied, have left the church. Tongue, a deadly weapon. It can cost a person's eternal life. I also think of something different. And then think of what we read in totally different now, in a totally different direction, but still costing a person his eternal life. I think of Revelation 13 about the lying propaganda of the Antichrist. And then in Revelation 13, there are two beasts. First, it speaks about the beast from the sea, symbolizing the political power of this world opposing God and his laws. And the next in verse 5 of that chapter, it says that this beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies to impress the people. People indeed God impressed. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. And then the second beast. The beast from the earth. Symbolizing the power of all false prophecy. which causes the inhabitants of this world to worship the first beast. The second beast, the beast from the earth, is the personification of all kinds of false churches, where the pure testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ is perverted, alienating people from God, false churches, where the lie of false prophecy has replaced the truth of the gospel. Also, this has everything to do with the 9th commandment. You shall not bear false witness. Not in society, but not in the church either. Let's go back to the actual text of the 9th commandment, which urges us positively to be thoughtful of always of the good name and reputation of our neighbor. We should not make someone's life unbearable, and in the meantime try to save our own skin. Why not? Well, there is no need for that. For it, we may feel secure in Christ. And therefore there is no need to slander our neighbor for the sake of our own protection. We are protected in Christ. And thankful for that protection, we should love the truth in our dealings with one another, in daily life and in the church. We have to fight against any kind of lying, gossiping, slander, lest, so we read in the explanation of the Catechism, we will come under the penalty of God's heavy wrath. But thankfully, it's Christ who redeemed us, also from that wrath. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we may live also in that respect from the redemption we have received in Christ. It might happen that we think, what have we done? I think, I made that statement earlier, because of bullying, people have left the church. There might be people with blood on their hands, so to speak. But also there, Christ says, I will forgive your sins. And that's behind you. If you have confessed that before the Lord, and where possible also made right with the person, if that was still an opportunity for, then you may know that's forgiven. That's Christ. And we can be thankful that God gives that, because how would we otherwise be able to live? As with so many things, also with respect to the 9th commandment, sin against the 9th commandment, when we, in true repentance, come to the Lord will forgive us these sins. When reading Lord's Day 43, that we should twist no one's word, not gossip, nor slander, instead always uphold our neighbor's honor and reputation, I think, brothers and sisters, that we are here this afternoon and also listen at home, we all have to confess that we are guilty of this. We all daily fall short of this. Yes, who of us can guard his tongue always carefully? Is that not too hard? Not for him, for her, who wants to look on high to Christ. Remember, he not only redeemed us from the penalty of God's heavy wrath, but he also gave us his spirit to live as brothers and sisters in unity, forbearing one another in love. And that love, it says in Scripture, covers a multitude of sins. That we don't rejoice in spreading the wrongdoings of our fellow brother or sister, but that we will do everything to promote our neighbor's honor and reputation. That's the new life in Christ. And living this new life in Christ, it should be our desire to live in thankfulness also according to the 9th commandment. Now, what does it mean in practical terms? For a start, you should always keep in mind, as I said before, that there is no need trying to save our own life. Often people lie because they try to escape a certain punishment. It starts already young. When little Johnny has a biscuit out of the cupboards. And mom said, did you do that? No. Oh, no. Because he says no, because he's scared for the punishment he gets. And that's how we do that as well. Or we cheat. We live at the end of the financial year. So our tax return. Of course, you may use the laws also regarding tax return. But we should do that honestly. And do not look for as many loopholes as possible. So, when you fill in your tax form, think about this. Christ is there. He looks, so to speak, over your shoulder. can you honestly write down a certain figure? Because you are honest or you are dishonest. It's everything to do with the ninth commandment. And I could mention many more other cases where you try to gain something for yourself, but it is not completely honest. At bottom, brothers and sisters, that means we do not fully trust God. We do not want to live free from the riches of our redemption, for if we would do that, there was no need for all these things. Christ has redeemed me. I don't need to cheat. I'm safe. I'm his. So, there is no need to cover up our own weaknesses either. But also these weaknesses and shortcomings are covered in Christ's blood. That means also, brothers and sisters, we don't have to present ourselves nicer than we are. We are a new creature. We have to live up to that standard. So we have to show more and more the image of Christ to uphold his honor. And then he will uphold our honor. And then I don't have to defend my own name, trying to make others believe that things are really nice in my life. But if deep down they knew how much I cry out and how many mistakes I've made. Now you don't have to tell your fellow member all your mistakes, but I think sometimes it can be good to make ourselves a bit more vulnerable. Because we can, in a very judgmental attitude, speak to others about their sins. But if you make yourself a bit more honorable, because you are not so great either, you may portray yourself like that. But if the other knew that you had as much to live by grace as you go to the other and say, that's wrong, sit next to the sinner. He says, here we are. You all need God's grace. I as much as you. That gives adultery. So, and then you speak the truth. For I'm not any better. The minister who stands here on the pulpit is not any better than the greatest sinner, between the first comma, the greatest sinner in this congregation. For he is by grace, and I live by grace. If you do that a bit more, then we speak the truth. And then we can win our neighbor. Is that too hard? I don't think so, if you cling to Christ. But we often forget in our daily goings, the routine of everything else, we forget about it. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. See, in general, we are quite good talking about a person. But are we also willing to help the brother and sister concerned? Not talking about him or her. But you also speak with him and her. It is easy to sit in that comfortable chair and talk about someone. But that doesn't take away the sin. It only makes things worse. Now think back of the Old Testament. These two witnesses. If I had said brother A is guilty, and someone else with me would have said, yeah, he's really guilty, then the person would be declared guilty. And then it will be said, okay, he's being stoned to death, here are the stones, you throw the first stone. That was the duty of the witnesses who had said, you're guilty. So if we would think about it, are we willing to throw stones? I mean, are we willing to own up to what we said and go to the brother and say, here it is? I'm not telling you that over a cup of coffee to someone else. Here it is. I want your salvation. Someone has committed adultery in the congregation, for example. And there it goes. Have you heard? Who of all the persons who are speaking about that has addressed that person that has committed adultery? That's the reality of the ninth commandment, brothers and sisters. As throwing that first stone, are we willing to all up to it? See, that brings it home. And then I fall short. Others fall short. I fall short as well. Sometimes you get the Ida Santa. And then read a certain name and say, oh, can you still skip that article? What good has he to say? Judgment. Also something else, and also there, I think, sometimes we know that certain things are right. I mean, that I have the truth. A person did that. So I'm not lying. I have the facts. But even then, it might be better to shut our mouth and go to the person and talk about, because there is no, does that help the person? If I in confidence have heard that a certain brother or sister has done this, and then, okay, I have a friend, that's always something. Yes, it was told to be in confidence, but you shouldn't do that. Go to the person. So we have to love the truth. Thankful to him who revealed the truth to us. Belonging to Christ means it should be our earnest desire to live up to the 9th commandment as the rule for our thankfulness. If we do so, brothers and sisters, the communion of saints will flourish. Marriages will flourish. Family homes will become safe havens for children. Then we will weigh our words and not speak quickly. It says in Proverbs 10, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, a fountain from its blessings flow. Let our mouth, brothers and sisters, always be such a fountain. Amen. Father, we've listened to thy words. And at the end of this worship service, Father, we'll confess our sins. We all fall short in living up to the standard of the 9th commandment. We do not always weigh our words as we should. We are not always quick in listening, slow in speaking. It's often the other way around. And Father, when we look into the mirror of the law, then we see our sins. And not only about the 9th commandment, but about every commandment. And so at the end of this worship service, Father, we thank thee that we could also hear the gospel of our redemption. That in Christ there is forgiveness for whatever sin we have committed. No matter how much at times we mess up our lives, that in sincere repentance we bow our knees and cling to thee, thou wilt forgive. But it was also mentioned that sometimes people have left the church because things were not always right when we spoke to them. Bullying at school or other instances. Lord, we pray thee for all David members who have left the church for being hurt by people or they thought they were hurt. Often when we speak with David members, Father, there is often a lot of criticism on people in the church, and sometimes it's right, sometimes not right. But we pray thee, open the eyes of all these David members, excommunicated members, that he may come back, so that he may rejoice and embrace them in love, and one day may sit together at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Lord, as we enter a new work week, we pray thee, help us to daily walk with thee in every area of life. Give us minds that are focused on thee, thoughts that are always kingdom focused. Help us always to speak the truth and to do so in love towards our neighbor. Help us to do our work every day, not for own glory and reputation, but doing it to use our talents in thy service, also in our daily work. Be it at the work site, in the office, at school, at uni, as moms at home. Make all of us faithful in the place where thou hast set us, faithful stewards in thy service. Also concerning the time thou hast given us, that we never waste it, but may always redeem it. Lord, help us also in this world, that we do not fall for the idols of this world. For Father, they will not offer any hope. In the end, they will all fade away. The only thing lasting in this world is our life with thee. Help us then to live that life in every respect. Also this week, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive now the greetings from the Lord and the blessing. So go in peace and receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, let his light shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.